Welcome back to the Infinitely More podcast. Today, I am blessed to be joined by Senior Pastor Jeff Bogue, the campus pastor of the Akron East Campus, Ryan Rodman, and the new campus pastor of the Stark North Campus, Aaron Key. Pretty exciting stuff. This episode is going to be called Going Further Faster, and we're super excited to talk about the story of how Grace, here we get to launch a new campus to make the gospel go further and faster. And so, first off, I just want to kick it off of Ryan, how did this all come to be? Like, how did Akron East get to the spot where we're able to say, hey, that Stark North community, this opportunity that came across our desk, we want to take that and make the gospel go further, faster?
Sure. Yeah, you probably have to go all the way back to 2015, 2016, when originally the Ellett campus, now what we call Akron East, started. Of course, we got launched from the Bath campus. Mm-hmm. And that's an incredible story of God's provision, right? Over the last 10 years, all kinds of twists and turns with that. But God has moved us, grown us to the point where we were able to look at multiplication as a possibility. And a couple things happened simultaneously. One is Aaron was really getting prepared as a leader, and I think being called. And before we had an opportunity, he was kind of wrestling with that question. We'll talk more about that. And then at the same time, a church down the road, the Middle Branch, Grace Brethren Church, was asking for some help and interacted with us. They had talked to us in the past and looked for some help, and they were kind of re-engaged in that conversation of, they're like, how do we go forward?
Yeah.
And so the Akron East campus, Aaron, Middle Branch, all kind of converged at the same time, and we were able to look at that opportunity and say, God, is this what you want?
And then Aaron, on your side of things, like, you come to Akron East, you're doing your thing. Take me through how you got to the spot where Ryan's like, hey, before you go on your sabbatical, maybe think about this thing.
Yeah, we, like Ryan said, the Lord provided for us in a ton of ways. And we got to a point where we started talking about, hey, now that we're in this building, our next step is probably multiplication. But I think every conversation we had was like 6 to 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, we were thinking long term. And, the Lord just continued to bless us and do some different stuff. And simultaneously, the Lord was working in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I was due for a sabbatical, about to go away for about a month. And, you know, Ryan planted in my head there. He's just like, hey, and I think we'd talked a little bit about it before, but he was just like, can you maybe think, like, spend some dedicated time thinking about that? And I was there too. I'm like, this is a thing I need to solve, like, in my brain. So went away, thought about that, and just had some amazing time connecting with the Lord during that sabbatical. But when I came back, had gotten to the place where I was probably more open to that possibility than I had ever personally been. And told Ryan that. I was like, hey, I think if an opportunity came up, I would have to look pretty hard at it. And I think it was just, I was thinking, you know, 6 years, you know, like a couple years, like
something.
3 years, you know, a year. And it was more like 2 weeks when we got that phone call. And so that really sped that up a little bit. But it was really just previous work the Lord had been doing in my heart.
Yeah. Kind of connecting the dots all at the same time. And so, Jeff, from, you know, the Grace Church side of, like, how did the Stark North opportunity come to be?
Mm-hmm. So there, Stark North was a sister church of ours. So Grace Church is a part of what's called the Charis Fellowship. And so we have a couple hundred churches in North America and many thousands of churches outside of North America, and that's who we network with. And so we had networked with the Middle Grace Brethren for years and years. And when they called looking for help, we got involved and tried to understand what that was. And I was trying to remember, Aaron, somewhere in there, you and I had breakfast.
Yeah.
Somewhere you had talked to me and said, hey, if there's ever an opportunity, I think the Lord has me. You remember that?
Yeah, it was like the end of my sabbatical, like in the middle. It was like during that time.
Okay.
Before that opportunity came up, but it was definitely like, obviously the Lord was preparing me for something there through all those conversations.
So somewhere in there, Ryan said to me and said to Aaron, and Aaron and I wound up having breakfast, and he did not pick up the check. I had to pay for it. So all of those conversations, like, kind of came to a center point. And then at that same time, some of the very faithful leaders at Middle Branch were kind of reaching out. Ryan was a part of that, and then I wound up being a part of it. And like Ryan said, we had talked to them pretty extensively about 5 or 6 years earlier. So these weren't brand new conversations. But what happens then is we start investigating that, mm-hmm. and we start talking with leadership and what they're thinking, what it means. We have these conversations a lot with churches, and it's everything from, we're your brothers and sisters in Christ, and we will help any way that we can, all the way through, like, we're starting a campus with Aaron.
Yeah.
And those conversations land kind of anywhere in there. So we started those. Rick Scavuzzo, our director of advancement, then winds up in that process. And the conversations just get more detailed. They get more clear. You wind up in front of the congregation, and you're having detailed and clear conversations with them. And then ultimately, you know, we can't take over a church. We're not going in and staking our territory. They ultimately have to decide they want to do that with us, which is a massive, massive sacrifice. So they did that. Aaron wound up being a part of some of the meetings, and Ryan and I and Rick would have been, you know, in the meetings. And so it just kind of picks up steam until a decision is made. And when that decision is made, it's tied to, there's a closure of the existing church.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a reopening of a new campus, and Aaron is going to lead that effort. So it really is something that the Holy Spirit has to be in, mm-hmm. and the people of God walk forward in selfless ways. And then the Grace Church side of it is, our vision is the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So it's almost, what degree do you need us to be a part of that? And that's how we'll be a part of it. We partner with tons of churches that don't become campuses,
yep.
but we'll use our resources and our relationships to help them. So it kind of takes that path.
Yeah. Sounds like through the whole process of everything that you guys are saying, there's just like this unification of the Spirit that you can't really can't really see until afterwards. We're like, oh, wow, that what was going on. Aaron, Ryan, you kind of touched a little bit on this, but Aaron, you were going through the process of developing as a leader, right?
Yeah.
So you went through intern, residency, you know, pastor. I was actually your student.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Turned out okay, I guess. Yeah.
But now into the campus pastor, like, can you share, your story is fantastic. Can you share maybe a little bit of, like, through that whole process, how God was developing you to get you ready for a moment like this?
Yeah, I mean, all the way back in, I was going to college for something else other than ministry. And funny, another conversation with Jeff at that point led me to start to think about ministry. Yeah. And
I remember the conversation. Yeah, it was Chinese place.
Well, it was called Brian Buffet.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I trust it. I don't know why. But we were, it all the way back to that was when I think I just started paying attention more to what God was doing. I was like, what does God want me to do with my life rather than, what plan do I have that God could bless, was probably a big turn in my life. And I tried to just keep honoring that path of decision-making. And going through college, and I get done with that. I got married 2 weeks after I graduated. And I think a little bit before I called Jeff, I was like, do you know any churches that want like a part-time youth guy? I've been working with these kids in the inner city in Marion, Indiana. It's been a blast at a little Wesleyan church there. And I'm just looking to see what God has next. And he's like, you could talk to Brad, I guess. And so Brad Dietzkrieg actually hired me, started working with students. And that in that time, it was obviously I got to work in ministry, but I was getting time with Jeff and other campus pastors. We used to have an intern meeting with the 5 interns that were here.
Yeah.
And Jeff was just kind of downloading, I guess you could just like pastoral wisdom and experience, some of the values of grace. And for me and my wife, Melinda, too, is the first like healthy church we had really been a part of for a long period of time. And maybe when we were the most healthy spiritually to like receive a lot of that wisdom is probably a better way to put it. And we just grew a ton in our faith at Grace. And we got this resolve to just be, to really help the gospel go faster. We're like, oh, we can just say yes to what God will do in the future. We don't have to know exactly what it is. And just start to see the values and things play out at Grace and the opportunity that we had. And kind of got to the end of my residency, had a ton of training, a ton of experience. I mean, I did a lot of crazy stuff that I was always, I was like, how are they believing in me enough to do this? Like, they're letting me take people to inner city Philadelphia. I'm like, that does not seem, you know, and I had great people with me, like a Joel Hawthorne and awesome guys to help me along the way. But they trusted me with a ton. And so I think my confidence was growing as a leader in that. My train, you know, I was getting proper training for that. Got my master's degree during that time. And then I was just like getting tons of experience in, you know, some failures, some wins, all of that stuff. And when it came time for the Alec campus, it was just like, we were actually looking elsewhere. I interviewed at another church and was just like, where do we go next from here? And that campus came up, we went to serve there and gained a ton of experience just, you know, working with Ryan over the years, ton of pastoral experience, things that I never would have dreamed of leading or doing. And over time, I just started, my wife and I always are asking, like, what's next, you know, what does the next season look like for us? So up to that sabbatical, I had probably been like, I don't need to be a campus pastor. Like, I love the Akron East campus. It's where I've, you know, helped build, love the people here. I have okay students and student, you know, I'm like, I love what I do. And we basically got all through those meetings and I'm watching the Middle Branch people make this decision to say, we want to advance the kingdom, regardless of what happens to our church, you know, the name of the church. We're like, we just want to advance the kingdom. And I'm like, man, there's an opportunity really clearly here to help the gospel go further and faster. And all we have to do is say yes to that. Mm. And it opens up a bunch of, not to go too deep in the weeds, but you're like, then leaders at Akron East have kind of some more cap space to grow. Like I have leadership there that would need picked up. There's God doing all kinds of things in their lives. And so we just ended up saying, man, we think this is our next step of obedience to what the Lord is asking us to do. And all of that preparation, though, in the internship, the residency, all that prepared me enough to say, one, like, I actually have some confidence in what I'm doing. I know enough to be dangerous, I guess. And, you know, I have enough, like, knowledge. I've had a ton of experience, and I know Grace Church well enough to, like, represent that well. And I just got... fell deeper in love with Christ over that time and wanted the gospel to go further and further. And so that all just kind of that same decision I had been making all along, I got to make again.
Yeah.
And it made that all make sense in that time frame.
That makes sense. One last thing. Through that whole process, maybe if you could fit it into one like practical wisdom point for anyone listening right now, like if you could tell someone that's listening right now, something that you've learned through that whole journey, what would that like one big thing be?
Wow. It's a lot of things to sum up in one thing for sure that have happened. No pressure there. Give the wrong piece of wisdom out of all that. I think one of the things that has shown up time and time again that have been essential to me is probably, I guess I'm going to take two. I'm going to take a little liberty here and just go with two. But I think one is, somebody said this at a conference one time. It's not original, but it's just stuck in my brain, is that the Lord's timing is always kindness. And I feel like I was always, there's always this tension of like what I want now and what I'm doing, where I should be. And I'm like, what if the Lord did this now or the time? And then I'm like, his timing, looking back on everything that's happened, I'm like, would have never picked that way, but it was the right way. I think there's that timing aspect. And then I think I was always craving clarity on my next step. And what I never got was like, God never was like, here's exactly what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
And like how it was going to play out. Clarity, what I got clarity on all the time was like what my step of obedience was.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of terrifying in some of those because you're like, I know what I have to do. I have no idea how I'm going to do that. I have no idea how it's going to work. But if I can trust the Lord, trust his timing and trust that he has a plan that I just need to take like the next step of obedience to and be faithful to that.
Yeah.
And I think if you can look at anybody can look at their life and apply that, and it's really helpful because you don't need all the details to get started.
Yeah.
Which was the thing I struggled with. So it really helped a lot. Yeah.
And then Jeff and Ryan, what did you guys see in Aaron through this whole time of like, yeah, I think he's ready for this?
I can tell you that very clearly. Sure. So Aaron has come up through the system. So all of you who invest in
vision campaigns in which we're raising money for internships and residencies. Like Aaron, it will be a product of all that, you know, where we've over a decade ago said we need to grow our own leadership. And Aaron and some of the other team that's going out to Stark North is a product of that. But the thing that caught me with Aaron was this. As I'm watching leaders develop, I want to see a couple of things. So I like to say I want our people to be passionate and professional. So if you're going to do something for the Lord, you should do it to the best of your ability, and you should grow those abilities. So he talked about, I've learned things, I had experiences, I was trained, and I believe pretty strongly in that. I don't think that leadership and spiritual leadership is something that you wing or you should do via your personality. And you see that in Jesus's modeling. He trained his disciples. He gave them tasks. He had them come back and report, like all those kind of things. So when I'm looking at Aaron develop, I'm like, he receives training. So biting the bullet and getting yourself through school is not receiving training. You know, school is a part of it. Mm-hmm. But if that's all that is for you, then you're wasting an opportunity, but digging in deep with it. But the thing, honestly, that got me the most with him is I remember seeing this. Scavuzzo was with me. He's sitting back there behind the camera, by the way. So, but he was with me in this. We launched Elit. Elit launched, and then it hit a crisis point. And the original campus pastor moved on, decided that wasn't what was best for him. And there was probably 125 people, I'm kind of guessing, but I'm probably pretty close, who were left there. And Aaron was the youth/associate guy. And I will forever remember, one of the great privileges of getting old is that
I don't know why that was so funny, but
yeah, I'm just getting a little bit old. Is that people who are your students? It is a wonderful, beautiful thing when you grow to respect your student. Mm. And so, one of the places that, because I feel that way about Ryan and Aaron, like I respect these men, right? Even though they were my quote unquote students.
Yeah.
So one of the places where my respect for Aaron grew and for Mendy, his wife, grew so deeply was Aaron. I get emotional about it. But Aaron came to us and he's like, I don't know that I'm ready to be the campus pastor. I'm not even sure I want to do it, but I love these people. And if you need me to do it, I'll do it. Because I love them. And I will get over whatever it is I have to get over myself. And I will take that responsibility in order to protect and lead those people. Now, as the Lord worked it out, Ryan came in, right? And so they did that together. And so we never asked Aaron to do that. But the fact that he was willing, and if you're going to pastor people, you have to be willing to lay your life down for them.
Yeah.
So church is not strategy. Mm. It's not philosophy. It's not work and angles and skill sets. All those things are only valuable if they're leveraged to love people better. But loving people is what leading a church is. And when Aaron and Melinda were willing to look and say, we'll take that hit all day long for these people, what that told me is I can trust him with anybody, right? Because I love these people. And for me to trust them to you, I don't care if you're a good speaker or not.
Yeah.
I care if you love them or not. So that's what I saw in him. And I saw that all the way through when you're working with kids and, you know, all the rest. Nick, you experienced that, you know, that Aaron loves you, he invests in you. But I'm like, that's the heartbeat, and then it's the skill set. And so I'm like, the fact that you love these folks and you actually know how to lead them well and organize them well is like what we're looking for, you know, in things. And so that's what we saw in Aaron. Everything else is,
kind of what you were saying is God's timing. It's like when and where, and we're like, I don't know. If you find out, tell us. You know, we'll figure it out. But you're ready to go there. So,
and that, I mean, that really shaped my approach to leading with Aaron. You know, because you kind of said, "Hey, man, I'm in. I'll do whatever it takes to make sure."
I was very relieved. I remember that meeting with you. Because we made a decision. We're like, we will do it because we're not getting random guy X. We're not going to close the doors. Like, we want to do this for these people. And I was also like, this is horrifying. But I remember getting to Jeff's office. He's like, we're actually going to have Ryan do it. I was like, thank God. That was my plan. Right. Ryan finally got his act together.
But I thought, I'm like, okay, Aaron's in. You know, you're in, you love these people, you have a commitment, a willingness. And then we kind of took the approach of we're going to do this together.
Yeah.
Right. And so all of these experiences in my mind, I'm thinking Aaron's got a high ceiling. Let's make sure he can use all this. You're not just limited to this one box. And so we kind of led the campus together. You did a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And, I think that was hope. And that's what Jeff did with me. I mean, you shared with me. Mm-hmm. By the time I went and launched a campus, somebody asked me recently, they're like, what was really overwhelming about launching a campus? I said, well, I probably launched a little older than most of our guys. And I've been at Bath with you, Jeff, for so long. You gave me so many experiences. It wasn't super overwhelming. Yeah. You know what I mean? I could walk into it because I had all of this stuff under my belt. And I thought, if we can have that happen for you, you can care more, and if the Lord leads that way, and your love for people is top shelf, right? Like interacting with people, loving them, having a commitment to it.
Yeah, that was definitely the approach, because there was stuff even at Akron East that I'm like, I'm not sure I should be doing this. Like, I should probably like let Ryan know that I'm like, you're good with this, right? Yeah. And you were, which was, you know, I think the same thing going into it, you're like, it's actually not as overwhelming as it could be because I had so many. It wasn't like Ryan's like, save all the important work for me and you can do this thing. It was like we were sharing the weight of pastoring there, and it was, you know, essential in that, in the building of making me feel like I could do that, which was great. So thanks for that.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Jeff.
Thanks, Popcomb.
That's right.
Just pass it down the line.
So we get to the spot and it's ready to go. And so now it's like, we got to bring it to the people of grace, right? We could say all this, get excited, but if people of grace are not in on this, it's not going to happen, right? And so, Ryan and Aaron, would you like to walk us through like kind of the vision campaign for launching Stark North and maybe any cool stories that came through the process of like putting this in front of the people of Akron East and also all campuses of grace, and how people responded to this step of faith?
Yeah, I mean, our folks were so pumped, right? Really? So excited. And I mean, the reality is the way the Akron East campus is formed, there's a lot of new people.
Yeah.
It's grown a lot. There are folks who are new who maybe came from Bath or who were part of the former church that joined. So the congregation had grown a ton, and the vision of 30 and 30 for some was still pretty new. Right, they're like, "What are we doing? We just got here. We're going to start another church." But it was exciting, right, for them to hear that. Like, our steering team was all in on that. The challenge of it, the affirmation to send Aaron, made sense. We were at a point where we felt like we had enough folks to go and take this risk together. So we put together a vision campaign called For the One and said, "We know that the Lord is sending us for the one in the Akron East community." In the Stark North community and for the next generation. And so we invited the whole Akron East congregation to be in on helping to launch Stark North, and it made sense to folks. And we said, would you consider going, right? Even if you're only here for a little while, would you consider making this your campus? And then everybody, would you financially support this? Would you pray for this? And we actually spent 1,000 hours in prayer as a campus. For, of course, Stark North and for the whole of that campaign, to see that kind of this little portion of the movement continue to advance to reach the one for Christ. And so every folks were in on that like crazy. And so lots of energy, lots of buy-in, lots of momentum. And then what you always see in campusing is people just start to rise. I mean, people kind of come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
And part of what we started to articulate is, hey, when Aaron goes, when these 75 people that when they go, what's going to happen is it's going to leave a pretty massive like vacuum. There's going to be a hole here, right? The people who are serving in Power Kids or student ministries, or they're out in the parking lot, they went to go start a new campus. Nobody's there anymore, right? Yeah. Those folks are gone. We need you to rise into that. And the folks who are leading or giving, right? All of that needs, and so people step up like crazy. And there's growth in the people that go, and then there's growth in the people that stay and rise.
Yeah.
Right? And so we invited everybody to figure out, to seek the Lord, and to figure out, are you being called to go on purpose or to stay on purpose? Mm-hmm. And our folks just ran with it. It
was great. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, I mean, we, if you want me to expand on that.
Yes,
you,
yeah.
Okay. there was, you know, as we go through, we're like, who are those people going to be that go? And one of the prayers that the Lord answered, I was praying beforehand, I'm like, I would love for any time that I talk to someone about going, that it wouldn't be the first time they thought of it. Like, I think it would just be really awkward if I was like, hey, no pressure, but do you want to go start a new church with me? And it's like on the spot. And honestly, that prayer was really answered. Every time I brought that up to someone or we were connecting, they were like, you know what? We've been thinking about it. And some of it was related to the campaign. Some of it was like, they were just like going, I have some, there's a bunch of stories. There's a couple that I really love. One was Jason Dara, who's been with me from the Ellet campus since day one. He was part of the original church. The man is a beast. He was like a 21-year volunteer youth pastor and like still showed up.
That's how I met Jason. Yeah. We were youth pastors in the 90s.
he just never left. He was like, I'll just start a business and I'll do that. And he's been with me in student ministries ever since and is just still. And I was like, well, Lord, I'm not going to do it without the Daras. You know, I'm like, it's dangerous when you start telling the Lord stuff. And when I talked to him about it, I was like, I don't know. I don't know. And he was like, you know, we've already been thinking we would only do it if you were go. I was like, man, this is so crazy. So all that just starts to line up. Family after family I talked to is just like, we were already starting to feel a pull towards that. Or we were the Lord is putting that in our hearts through the campaign. One of the couples that are coming, they showed up at one of our launch meeting and I was like a little bit like shocked to see them. They're like, you know, we started praying through the like supporting campaign, and then the Lord started laying our heart, like, we should go to this new campus. I'm like, this is
wow,
incredible. And then from the whole, you know, all of Grace Church, one of my favorites is there's a family that lives like a mile from the building down there, which is not like a big place. It probably is a mile. Like, it's probably a square mile, that little town. And they heard that it was opening. They were already praying about a new church because it's such a far, I mean, it's like 45-minute drive to Bath where they were going. And they have been incredible. They have the vision, the DNA of Grace. Ethan and I have been in the building, like working all the time. And they're just like, they're so in. And it's been amazing to see people from the Akron East campus, their response to what the Lord is doing. And then from across Grace Church, it's incredible how many people are just thrilled with what the Lord is doing and have personally considered it themselves, how the Lord has made that make sense for people. And even where their life currently is. So it's been a real blessing to see the people the Lord has clearly, I think that family has been at Grace for 13 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I'm like, this is amazing that's that we awesome. Get to go do this together. And there's so many stories like that.
Deals is who I think.
Yeah, that was another one. That's another crazy story. They were not impressed by me at all. they were processing that they moved back to North Canton, right in the area, and were processing with their best friends about potentially going down there. And my wife teaches yoga to studio, taught yoga to studio in Wadsworth, and we were moving and she was ending her time there. It was really sad for her. And so she told her students that night, well, some of the people in her class were the Deals' best friends.
Wow.
And they were like, you should definitely go do that. Melinda's really awesome. I was like, that is the right way to think about that. But just the way the Lord has made that make sense, even through my wife's work. I mean, she's just incredible at forming relationships like that. And The way that the Lord has made it make sense to individuals is just so unique and something like I've never personally seen in anything else. It's been really cool.
Yeah. And then, well, what came to mind through that is there's people in that process that this is like their second or third time going around, you know, the mountain of like, and I just think about that. I'm like, launching one church is being a part of that is really hard. And then they're like, yeah, let's do it again. Like, what? You know what I mean? It's something that the you know, the hand of the Lord has to be on for them, especially when they seek in prayer.
It's a gifting. It's an apostolic gifting.
Mm.
So there's parts of the body of Christ that are spiritually gifted to start things, and they're good at it.
Yeah,
and they're energized by it, and all the rest. And you need them.
Yeah,
what you need them when you're starting a new church, or we call it campus, but it's starting to plant the church. Yeah. If you don't have folks like that who are great connectors, who love doing 15 things at once. Mm. You know, and so it's fun to watch the body of Christ, like all those gifts that the Apostle Paul lays out for us, like they become real tangible real fast.
Yeah.
It's cool to see how God builds his church.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And Jeff, you know, we've touched on this before, so, you know, maybe keep this short, but like, you know, planning a church is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we do it?
We do it because it is the model of the scripture. And so 30 and 30 is based off of the book of Acts. The book of Acts played out over the course of about 30 years, and they started about 30 churches.
Yeah.
And that's why we're sitting here today talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Those churches started churches. So 30 and 30 is our nickname for how Grace Church executes the Great Commission when it comes to starting churches. And so it's literally just us. This is not brand development. It's not market share. It's literally just us looking at places where the gospel is not clearly easily accessible and taking a church there. And it's what the scripture does. I actually was on in a meeting yesterday with a bunch of pastors in Northeast Ohio. There's about 10 of us doing the same thing because we want to saturate the area. We want to make it hard to go to hell in Northeast Ohio. Mm. Well, this was the map and the plan that Jesus laid out for us.
Wow.
So in my mind, this is just a church being a church.
Yeah.
It's what we're supposed to do. We identify leaders, we raise them up, we train them, we send them out.
Yeah.
And so it's the biblical model, and that's why we do it.
Yeah. Ryan, you're staying.
I am staying.
And he is good definitely luck, buddy. Staying.
Well, I have an announcement.
I have one too. Aaron's the senior pastor.
Good luck.
Yep. Oh boy, all right. Here we go.
But in that process, now you lose your right hand man and someone you relied a lot on, which leaves a hole for them, the Lord, to raise up new workers. And so how, through this process, have you watched the Lord start to fill this hole and just the people of the church, also people coming into ministry? Any of the stories there that you might want the people of Grace to know?
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever you have, you know, a leader and a personality, and there's a uniqueness, obviously, to somebody who's
I know what you're
talking about. You're very
I'm right here.
There's a lot going on. Right? There's no replacing Aaron, right? I mean, as a person, truly, his role is gonna get replaced, right? In that, but there's some pieces, and this is just a reality. Whenever you send somebody, there's a part of who they are as a leader, what they bring, that's just a little bit gone, you know. And you grow and you change and alter, and I think we're experiencing some of that in the reality. Now, God raised a bunch of people up. And that's been incredible. So we have River, who's a resident, who's grown up at Grace Church, been an intern, right, on a pastoral path. And so he has taken the student ministries portion of Aaron's role. And then God has raised up Kevin Mowers, who's from within our campus. He started attending, he and Elizabeth started attending think in 2020. It was like right
in the other building, the horse barn.
One of the buildings, right?
We call it the horse barn, yeah.
Yeah, affectionately. Yeah. But he started coming, and he has been on fire, been a critical volunteer leader at the campus. And God, through this, really, it was through seeing the gap that's mm-hmm. existing from Aaron moving on, was part of what moved his heart mm-hmm. to really say yes. He knew God was stirring in him for a while, but he said yes to that, and so he's going to come in and help fill that leadership gap.
That's awesome.
And also, Starla Martinez is come on our team, and she's going to help fill a portion of that gap too. So God is raising all kinds of people up. It's going to take on a different dynamic,
yeah.
Of course, and it's going to be a new chapter. But like, there's a part that's going to feel missing for yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
And then there's a bunch of volunteers, right, that yeah. are jumping into that
yeah.
that mix, of course.
I just heard he had to hire 3 people to do my job. Okay. I don't know what that means.
You should feel really important.
Yeah, well, you're going to get much more organized. I'm 100% sure of that.
We talked about that. Yeah.
Got out just in time.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. I think, as we wrap up here, Aaron, for Stark North specifically, what should the people of Grace be praying for and thinking about?
Yeah, we could use a lot of prayer. Right now we're just getting started, so we have a lot of stuff going on. But I think a couple of main things. One is just for our launch team, the people that are really sacrificing a lot right now. There's just people are changing churches. Their families are changing where they go to church. I mean, some of them have moved. Like, there's a whole Middle Branch Grace Brethren Church of people who are experiencing something totally new. Mm-hmm. They gave up their building. They've been away from it for a while. I mean, there's just people are going through a lot of change right now. And so just to pray for the unity of that team, that the Lord would continue to encourage them, build them up in every way as they, a lot of them are stepping into leadership roles for like the first time or in a way that scares them. Mm-hmm. You know, all of us are doing this for the first time, yeah. right? It's a blessing, and we really want the Lord to be behind that and would use prayers for that. The other thing is just as we actually make an entrance into this community here, we know that there's going to be people that God is going to entrust us with,
yeah.
and we want to serve them, we want to love them, and help them understand Jesus from whatever place they're starting at.
Yeah.
And so, at least as speaking as a campus pastor, like the place I want to take our campus is that we would see what the Lord is doing and see it correctly and have the boldness to pursue that in whatever way we need to so that people can know Jesus and not just know him, but in a deep way where they're going to be growing in faith, growing in their leadership, and continuing to reach other people for the gospel. Like, when you just start thinking about multiplication numbers, like, you get a little hot spot of people and they start reaching the people in their sphere, it just goes. And I get really pumped about that. So I'm like, just want to identify whatever the Lord's doing. So prayers that he would keep us close to his plan and his timing, that we would just trust him with it.
It's awesome. Do you guys have any final points to add in this conversation? Maybe a funny story or just any final things to say about Aaron and the Stark North campus and that whole story?
Oh, if you want Aaron's stories, I could set you up all day long. The thing I would add is that our church family, this is the result of vision, sacrifice, and investment of our church family. So 30 and 30, if you took the question of how does Stark North happen to a 50,000 foot level, it's because the people of Grace Church grab the vision and have invested in it 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And we decided kind of corporately as a family, like, this is what we're doing. We see it in the scripture. It's not the only way to do it. It's not the best way to do it. But it's in the book, and it's our way of doing it. It's the way that it makes sense to us. And it takes millions of dollars, and it takes people moving, and it takes sacrifice, and all kinds of people come to know Jesus and the gospel presence. This is what's awesome. I love this. Churches die hard. They die hard. So when we make this investment into Stark North, 100 years from now, it's still going to be producing the gospel. Mm-hmm. That church building that we're moving into is how old?
It is from 1889. And wow. Just a funny story of that. So my grandpa was a Grace Brethren pastor.
Yeah.
He's 93, still living. And I was telling him that I was doing this. And he goes, in the most grandpa, he's like, it seems to me, like he remembers when the Grace College Seminary was in the old Ellett
yeah.
church building in Akron. Like he was there. And he was telling me, it seems to me like I went to that building for a funeral of a pastor. And we found out one of the old congregation members was like best friends with their old neighbors. Like there's just this like,
yeah.
That church has a long history of reaching people when they were young. Like it has a long history.
And you look at that, 1889. So this is 100 and we'll call it 50 years later. And because God's people, the middle branch Christian Brethren people, yielded to God's plan, all of that effort and all of that resource and all of that gospel presence is refired.
Yep.
And that's what I would say to the people of Grace. This is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we're not building a brand, we're not propping up a celebrity pastor kind of a thing. We're advancing the gospel, and it has hundreds of years. So when we talk about a 300 to 500 year investment, there's 150 right there,
right?
in those things. So that commitment is huge. You guys are unbelievably faithful with it, and it works. It really does make a difference as we go kind of step by step through this whole thing.
It's awesome. Ryan, you got any final things to add?
Yeah, I would just say this, like, there is no higher win than what's happening right now. You know, as we talked about all the difficult parts, and it is challenging and sometimes scary and sacrificial, and it is the absolute best.
It's the best.
I mean, all of the right stuff is happening because there's a campus launching.
Yeah.
Right? And everybody grows when that takes place. Yeah. And like the idea that we would just stagnate and kind of exist and run through the motions, none of that is a part of Grace. And I love that. Like, we are truly part of a movement.
Yeah.
And, that's energizing to me. Yeah. I know it's energizing to the people of Akron East. To like everybody's fired up to be a part of that victory that's going to happen here through Stark North, and watching the whole adventure happen, man, it's awesome.
It's really awesome.
Yeah.
So, with all that being said, none of this can happen without the people of Grace praying together. And the best way that we've been seeing that happen, it's been really beautiful to be a part of, is those 30 and 30 prayer calls. We've talked about them in the past episodes, but maybe after this episode you feel pulled or called to be a part of this, to have something bigger than, you know, we could even ask or imagine or think happen. Those calls happen the first Monday of every month at 6 a.m., 12 or noon and 8:30. And so we would love for you guys to be a part of that. The link will be in the description. You can also reach out to us, and we'd love to help you get a part of that. And so if you're feeling that pull or feeling that call, don't just let it sit. Take some action, be a part of that. And so with that, we also, if you like this story or want to hear more of what's going on around in Grace, make sure to subscribe to the channel or whatever listening platform you are on. We would love to keep you updated and informed about all the beautiful things and ways that God is moving here in Grace. So with that, this episode is a wrap.